In this game, the object is for you to kill everything coming at you and to avoid being killed.
And you will die.
And welcome back to the League of Casual Gamers podcast, your hardcore podcast for casual gaming. I am your host, Brian, and I'm here with Jay, the money man, Moolah.
What's up?
And our other weak-ass fireworks.
Yeah, right. And our other vaunted co-host, the man who was way too boosted for his own face, come on down, B.
In there. Like swimwear. Good evening, gentlemen. How are we doing?
How you guys doing today?
Good.
I'm feeling real good. We're all properly quarantined. We're over 6 feet away. We're more like each 600 miles away. I don't know if the listeners know, but we all live roughly in a triangle where we all live an hour away from each other.
We're all quite far away from each other.
Yeah, so we're practicing responsible social distancing on this great podcast. So don't say we don't make sacrifices for you.
You know, fellow listeners. You know, the podcast must go on. It must go on. And so I'm proud of us and what we're able to achieve here despite the social distancing.
What day is it?
Dude.
It's the third day of the quarantine.
I was just thinking this the other day. I'm actually losing track of time. Like, I guess we don't need to get too behind the scenes and tell people how long we record this at a time. But, like, I'm losing all track of the days of the week. You know, the only thing that's kind of helping me keep track of the days is the fact that I'm still working every day from home. And it's managed to help me keep some circadian rhythm for all those non-24 listeners out there.
Right.
But I'm just I get it, Jay, man. It has been tough to kind of keep up with what day it is. But it's star date 6528, you know, third day in the year of our Lord of this quarantine.
That's fun.
Yeah.
My advice to all the leaguers out there, continue to work on the schedule that you had prior to the apocalypse, is what my wife and I call it around the house, because eventually, Rick and his friends are going to find salvation whenever that happens, and we're all going to have to get back to civilization.
It won't. You know, there's another spinoff to Walking Dead coming on TV where, like, all the kids from The Walking Dead are now getting their own show. It's like a, I don't know
all
if it's the kids
that aren't dead.
Yeah.
The kids that aren't dead.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if it's the same kids as that's been in Rick's former group, but yeah, it's interesting for sure.
Never forget, Rick gets you killed, people. No one lives long enough. All the originals are gone. All the originals are gone.
No, that's not true. When's the last time you've watched Walking Dead?
I watched half of the last season.
Are you serious? Have you really watched half of the latest season?
No, I don't know. Like, I guess it's the latest season. Yes. I went on a Walking Dead like mission for a minute. Mm. Like, I was like,
All right, who's the main villain where you left off?
And mind you, we don't need to give the whole.
Who's the villain? Who's back?
It's not Negan. Negan.
The answer to that question is really simple. If you're as caught up as you claim you are.
Okay, so you're not. I don't know or I forget.
You wouldn't forget.
You don't know. You don't. Yeah, you would never forget this character.
Yeah.
You would never forget.
Okay.
So Walking Dead is a good example. I actually would encourage everyone listening to go home tonight and watch World War Z. I just watched the other day, and no joke, every line of dialogue for the first 30 minutes of the movie is exactly what you've been hearing from the government, the World Health Organization, the CDC. Every line Brad Pitt says, it's almost like coronavirus watched World War Z and said, I'm going to do that.
I've been telling my wife this for the longest time. This is World War Z. This is World War Z.
You're not lying. No, every line is exactly what you can turn on nightly news tonight. Yes. And it's going to be the first 15 minutes of World War Z.
Every line.
Isn't that crazy?
Scary. Like, that's not to make light of it. Like, I know we're talking about zombie apocalypse, but it is kind of scary, like, how that shit starts out in terms of, like, it's just like a viral outbreak, and then obviously it escalates into science fiction, but still, it is really weird how the two correlate early on in that movie.
Kind of scary. And after that, watch Contagion and Outbreak, because you just gotta watch them all.
If you really want to freak yourself out, right?
So what's the one on Netflix right now?
Outbreak, the one with the monkey and Dustin Hoffman.
Okay, all right. I have to watch that too, by the way. All right, but we're getting in the weeds. If you want to keep up with everything LCG Pod, make sure you follow us on all social media at LCG Pod, and make sure you look us up on all major podcast platforms. Make sure you subscribe and like and click those 5 stars. We got a great show for them today, gentlemen. We're going to get into a little PS5 talk. There's been some news from IGN. Well, there's news every day about PS5 and Xbox Series X. But specifically, we're going to get into what matters to our leaguers and, I guess, you guys, which is backwards compatibility. And then, given all this talk about coronavirus, there's been a shakeup in the movie industry. So we're going to take ourselves on a little bit of a side quest today and talk about some new developments with some movies that are coming out soon and how the leaguers can watch movies immediately now and not wait for them to come out in movie theaters. I'm a little excited about that. I want to get you guys' opinion on it first. But before we get there, I got a quick question for you guys.
Love it. Jay hates quick questions, but I'm ready.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're never quick.
Said every listener to this pod ever.
Yeah, right. Go ahead.
So we've talked about GameStop on the show before, and now I want to kind of get you guys' opinion on what GameStop is doing in light of the coronavirus. So states all across the country are closing non-essential businesses, asking restaurants to close, asking movie theaters to close, something we're going to talk about later, asking for people not to congregate in groups no larger than 10 people in some places. Other places it's 50, other places it's 200. Despite all this, GameStop is infamously now deciding to stay open. GameStop's doors are open, and they are, by many reports, even by a report in from Polygon, operating business as usual. This is from an article on Polygon. They've reached out to a manager who is running a store in San Francisco. So San Francisco has already decided that all non-essential stores are closing down. They were able to reach that manager during regular business hours. And that manager said, quote, "We just got off a conference call about an hour ago saying that we are staying open our normal business hours no matter what states are mandating." Guys, that sounds insane for so many reasons.
It's so disparaging.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a slap in the face. I think one thing we should never forget, even before the coronavirus hit, is that GameStop is a brick and mortar in the digital world, and they are a dying breed, and they are dying fast. And it was true before this, and it's becoming even more true now. When a good portion of their businesses foot traffic in their thousands of stores across the country, closing down would essentially end this company. I mean, they have a great presence online. They're trying to get you to buy more digital and buy more hard copies and have them shipped to your house, but a huge fraction of their business, or a huge portion of their business, is still done in store, in trades, in selling and reselling goods, and buying hard copies of games. I mean, and all the other BS bullshit merchandise they sell in their store. closing their doors at a time like this when, you know, they are reportedly struggling. They're trying to avoid bankruptcy. They hired Justin's boy, Reggie, from Nintendo to get on their board and pull them back from the brink of bankruptcy. This virus has hit them at the worst possible time ever. And a nationwide closing of their doors, I truly think would put this company so far deep in the bankruptcy, it's going to be really hard to find their way out. And so they're putting profits over people. And the reports from employees across the country, even before this, have shown that they've really been needling them to push trades and to get people in their stores and this, that, and the other, and help increase profits. And that seems to be their first and foremost focus right now.
Yeah. Jay, what are
your
thoughts,
like, man? It's like when the Titanic is sinking and the orchestra comes out and they start playing, except these guys are told no matter what, you have to keep playing. And I don't care if the ice water is up to your neck.
You gotta be underwater playing that goddamn violin.
Like, you better keep playing. I mean, that is exactly what this is like. I'm sure there are going to be a lot of case studies done one day about this whole scenario. You know, when does your, you know, business, you know, cross the line, you know, morally or ethically over, you know, I mean, if the state is telling people to stay home, do not come out, it's not healthy. You could die. You know, you could catch something that could kill you or make you very sick at the very worst, you know.
Somebody who's less likely to fight it off than you.
Right. Exactly. And in a store like that, where you have to touch everything, and you know it's tight space. Every GameStop is tiny. I've never been into a big GameStop before. Mm. You know, everything. You were less than 6 feet away from everybody in that store. You know, so I think it's interesting that they're taking that stance on, you know, no matter what, you have to keep working. I think it's harsh. And if I worked at GameStop. If after that call, if I hadn't quit already, that would be my breaking. I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Clearly, I think, you guys, you know, aren't with for the people that work here.
Yeah, to me, this continues just to be another bad look for GameStop. There's already rumors that have come out over the past several months about how they're treating their employees, how they're forcing this certain culture upon their employees, how unhappy their employees are to work there, and now this comes about. Like, GameStop employees, most of them are hourly employees that by from what this Polygon article is saying, feel like they have to come into the store, even if they might feel like they might be sick, because they're afraid to lose their job because of the culture that's been built around GameStop. And it just would have been so wise and such a good look for them to say, hey, we're going to go ahead and close our doors and let people stay home and for their safety. But what this just says to me is that GameStop is so concerned about their bottom line right now that they're willing to put their employees at risk. And at the long run, I don't know how you keep good people around to continue to build your business in an age where you need good people to build your business. Like, I don't know how this is a good long-term plan, except what Brandon says is that they have no other choice. Like, you know, they have to keep their doors open because they can't take the hit of, you know, 2 months of no sales. But, you know, the flip side is just, it's horrible, man. I feel like people are forced to kind of put themselves in harm's way because they got to make a paycheck.
Yeah. I mean, the moral of the story is, and the moral of this whole podcast is, buy digital. You don't need to go to GameStop and buy your fucking games. You shouldn't have been going ahead of this. And Brian said there was bad press a bit before this. This is terrible press now. Yeah. GameStop won't exist this time next year, if you ask me. I think they are headed for bankruptcy. Maybe Reggie could have pulled him out before this, but you know, this coronavirus is going to weigh too heavily on their profits and on their brand. That I think it is going to end up spelling the end of them. And you know, look, if you work at GameStop, you know, unfortunately, you might need to start figuring something out. This ain't gonna be here for a while. And everybody else,
Brandon, you keep saying that to GameStop employees.
Yeah, I really do. I said it last year, and I'm saying it again this year. Go find a new job. And everybody listening, buy fucking digital. You know, I mean, that's really all that matters.
To be fair, GameStop has they did. I think we were talking about this before the show, but they did cancel their launch events for a couple of games coming out. So
yeah, you're right.
You know, they're not completely.
And they're driving people into the store. Yeah. I guess.
Spitting like, one. I mean, coughing.
Yeah. They're not making you come. They're just saying, you know, we'll keep the lights on for you. You know, that's all.
Yeah, that's fair. Cool. All right, guys. That's all I really want to know about that one. We can go ahead and get on to our first topic. So, in a recent article from IGN, have y'all heard of the movie Bloodshot with Vin Diesel?
It's like Fast and Furious 10, right?
No. I don't know. I saw the previews. He looks like Superman or something like that. He's got some red shit glowing out of his chest. Either way, that is neither.
Is it based? And who cares about Bloodshot? But is it based on a Marvel movie or something? A Marvel character? I don't fucking know. Jay, you got any foul on this?
Jay,
no. It's not. It's based off a graphic novel. And okay.
That's what I'm asking.
So that's where it's coming from. Yeah, it's totally sci-fi. You know, yeah.
It's like the Riddick bit he did a few years back.
Yeah, it looks like. Yeah, I thought it was a reboot of Riddick. Honestly,
It's more like Live, Die, Repeat. You know, just a little bit more low tech, I would say. You know, so it's interesting. It's all about mind control and, you know, deja vu and all this stuff. And he slowly breaks out of it and mumble, 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 family, lady, da, 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 like he always does.
Not Letty. Superman said Letty.
That's where the movie's going. Yeah, that's where the movie's going.
All right.
I got notes for it. I don't care. I don't care if it's coming out early. I'm still not going to pay more than the lowest price I could possibly pay to watch that movie.
All right, Jay. Well, spoiler alert. So the movie is coming out early. So normally, as it is, movies are released, they go to movie theaters. The movie is still slated to come out.
Is that the process, Brian? That was a complete breakdown of the movie business process.
Yeah. You see, first you take the thing, it's like you do this one thing.
First, movie theater. Then it goes to DVD. It's not the other way around. You'll never see it go to DVD first, and then the movie theater.
As a good host, I have to break down the thought process for all of our listeners so they understand where we're going. This is Hosting 101, you donks.
You heard it here first, right?
Yeah. Carry on.
So now, because of the coronavirus and the fact that movie theaters all across America are closed, the March 24th release date for Bloodshot will be the date that you can go and download this movie and watch it digitally in your own home. The same thing is happening with several movies that are coming out around the same time. Universal Studios' The Hunt, The Invisible Man, and Emma are all going straight to on demand. Guys, this is exciting because we could be seeing a new age way of watching movies.
I will say that, you know, I'm never going to say there's a silver lining to coronavirus, but it is giving us. It is forcing us to think of products and how those products get to us in a different way. You're seeing a lot of companies now offer delivery in a way they've never done it before. And the movie industry changing in this direction, I agree, Brian, it's very exciting. Because as a person with a, you know, 1 year, 1.5 year old child, like me and my wife very rarely get to the movie theaters. I mean, it has to be a massive blockbuster because it means, you know, it means babysitter and a bunch of other stuff just for us to get out the door for a night to see a movie. And so a lot of times what we do is that we just have to wait for stuff to hit on demand. And so I'm seeing movies, I'm typically seeing movies that I would have seen in theaters, you know, a month after it's come out. And, you know, right. for some of the stuff, I'm trying to avoid spoilers and stuff. Like, I literally just saw Joker like 2 weeks ago.
Oh man, dude.
Yeah. And so the idea that like this could maybe jumpstart what I've been kind of talking about in background for a while, which is big blockbusters movies either coming straight to Netflix, which we've seen Netflix pick up a bunch of stuff, but either big blockbuster movies coming straight to Netflix or Hulu or whatever, one of your streaming services, or coming straight to on demand for, you know, maybe a little bit a higher cost than a standard on demand, which is like $5 right now. So this is, you know, for the casual gamer and who sometimes is also a casual movie watcher because of what makes him a casual gamer, which is the life and otherwise obligations. This is extremely exciting in the sense that it's going to make some of these movies that weren't going to be accessible to me otherwise accessible. Like Bloodshot, which I would have never gone to movies.
I would have never paid, you know, $40 for my wife and I to go see that
movie. Yeah, I can barely stomach Vin Diesel in a Fast movie, let alone in some ancillary shit he's doing. You know, I feel great.
Jay, you're excited about this? Is it, I mean, now, huge caveat, you know, save for the fact that, you know, this is because of coronavirus, we're talking about the outcome of this. Are you excited?
Excited, yes, because I actually was on the verge of buying movie tickets to see Invisible Man 3 weeks ago when it first came out, I think. And now that I don't have to do that and save myself the $20 movie ticket price, the $50 dinner price,
you're right.
You know, the snacks, you know, the gas to get there.
Yeah.
You know, this is great. I'm saving
it's $100 night.
$100 night now just got boiled down to $20, maybe $25. I'm having a good time, right, guys? So, you know, I mean, I just there is. Like Brandon said, you know, there's nothing good about the virus or anything like that. You know, it's no redeeming qualities. I think what we are witnessing is a lot of companies, organizations, businesses being forced to evolve. You really look at it, it's the fundamentals of nature. You evolve or you die. Right. You know, so if a movie theater wants to be around after the coronavirus, you gotta do something, you know, one way to keep your movie studios open is to find other ways to get movies watched, you know, and if that means a deal with Apple or Verizon or whoever, charge $20 to screen the movie, you know, you take a percentage, they take a percentage, fine. As long as people are watching your product, you're winning. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I too am excited about this simply for the convenience of it all. And, you know, I don't want to speculate that this in the long term will hurt the movie industry. But I know a lot of my friends are just like you guys that don't really want to spend the time and the money to go to movie theaters. And we all have really great setups at home. Damn, Jay, like your entire basement is a movie theater. You have three rows?
Two and a half.
See, either way, right? Like that, you have the entire movie experience right at your own home, and it's only going to cost people $20, $19.99 to download this thing, half the price, at least, of what you would pay if you took your loved one or your girlfriend or your wife out to a movie. So, you know, I hope this means that more stuff like this is going to happen in the future. They're going to promote movies as if they're coming out on theater, and then they're gonna be like on demand September 21st, and you'd be like, oh shit, I can watch a Marvel movie.
I think the quiet, you know, secret behind all this is that we were headed here either way. I think coronavirus has sped this track up, and I think Jay used the perfect word, force these companies to evolve. And if you're talking about the movie industry specifically, it's going to force them to kind of take a step into the realm that I think ultimately we were going towards. Every year, Netflix is spending more and more and more money to put out really good movies on Netflix. And the people who are paying whatever it costs us for Netflix, $12.99 or whatever, are getting quality movies straight to their streaming service.
Yeah.
And what that is doing is making you continue to question, why am I going to spend all this money? Like Jay said, it could be $100 a night to go to the movies for a singular experience when I'm getting quality movies straight to Netflix. And it's not, you know, people want to say Netflix is hurting the movie industry and this, that, and the other. No, it's just forcing them to evolve and to rethink their model. And it wasn't going to last forever. You have to continue to move with how society is moving, you know, and our time and our money is continuously precious. And having stuff come to on demand was inevitable. This was inevitable. And so now that we're here, I need to see them embrace it. I need to see them to figure out what works for them, because you're not going to go back. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
you're not going to backtrack and next year start knocking me over the head for $15 movie tickets again. You know, and I'm not saying the movie theater experience is going away. What I'm saying is this is now going to, I think, going to spur them to integrate this more and more into our system.
So I have a question. I'm just thinking about this, you know, movie theaters is one thing, but where does someone like Redbox fall into this? Because Redbox has physical locations all over the place. They have video games and DVDs in their boxes. Do they see an uptick or do they see a decline? You know, if we can't leave our houses, does something like Redbox, I mean, it's a German infested machine to begin with, just so you know, I'm just curious, like, you know, where does something like that fall? I wonder, you know, is it, I wonder if there's any interest in that, you know, from anybody staying at home.
I mean I've always felt like Redbox was kind of falling by the wayside anyway, right?
Me
like
too. That's what I was
so much
say.
There's so much on demand option, like you know how, you know, when I go check out Redbox, like my wife and I are walking out the grocery store and we're like, hey, you want to see what's on Redbox really fast? And she's like, yeah, sure. And we look at it and inevitably there's nothing there.
I disagree in the sense that there's nothing there. There's usually, because like we've gone to Redbox, you know, because we only check it when we happen to walk out of the grocery store too, and that's when they want you to check it. I think you're the exact one. When they drew it up, you literally walked their path. So,
sure.
I think you're fine. I do feel it's becoming a little bit more niche, because I think one, if you have on demand, you're less likely to use Redbox. That's us. That's me. I've used Redbox over on demand because sometimes the movies overlap and you can get Redbox for a dollar, and so it's much cheaper than, you know, you're saving $3-4
Well,
bucks.
It's cheaper if you take it back the next day.
Yeah, if you take it back the next day, which I never do. So
no, nobody does. They bank on that.
They absolutely do. They bank on Brian walking out of the grocery store and me leaving my DVD next time I get back in my car, sitting in my cooking my kitchen table like a dog. But no, I don't see, to Jay's point, I don't see a massive market for Redbox, especially, again, if Netflix keeps bringing quality movies like The Irishman to its streaming viewers. So, but it's not going to go away, because if you don't have cable, then Redbox is actually a really, really good option for you, because it's cheaper than Netflix. Say you don't have Netflix, and one, you're crazy because you don't have anything. But, you know, there is always, I think, always going to be a small, or at least a significant portion of people that keep them afloat, that say, oh, this is a great idea. I think what they're going to have to do is start gutting it. There's a bunch of video games in there that don't need to exist anymore. No one's going to Redbox anymore and renting video games. And they need to just get it down to maybe a bunch of hits and some good classics. And I think that's what you could see moving forward.
Yeah.
It's a good question, Jay. I would be interested to see kind of where Redbox ends up in all this, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I would definitely not be a Redbox user. I'm so done with Redbox. But okay.
We'll see.
Right. All right. We're gonna move on to our next topic, which is a recent, more information about PlayStation and PlayStation 5. So, in an IGN article that recently came out, quote, almost all PlayStation 4 games will be playable on PlayStation 5. So, I mean, this kind of runs along, you know, the thought process that we've had for a long time about the PlayStation 5 and why, I guess, at least you guys are on the fence about getting a PlayStation 5 immediately. But this definitely confirms it for you that you're going to have all backwards compatibility. So I want to talk about this.
Hold on, because I think that's a little bit of an overstatement. I think we need to clarify the statement. PS5 will be playable. PS5 will be able to play almost all of the top 100 most played PS4 games at launch. So there's a lot of qualifiers there. Okay. There's more than 4,000 PS4 games for one. Okay. And they're saying at launch of the PS5, almost all of the top 100 most played games, so top 100 games categorized by most played. Okay, so almost all of those top 100 games will be able to be played on the PS5 at launch. Okay, so that's just a fraction of PS4 games. So, you know, I don't want us to say PS4 is fully backwards compatible and PS5 is going to be fully backwards compatible, or you're going to be able to play all PS4 games or anything, or even you're going to be able to play all the PS4 games on your shelf, because, you know, you have to go look at this list of top 100 games to see if the games on your shelf are covered in those 100 games.
Yeah,
and again, it's almost all. So it's probably like 95 to 90, 96, 97 games. So it's important to make that distinction and to be clear about what's going on. And the next thing I will say, and I'll let Brian get back, is like, don't hear what we're not saying. I'm not saying that every game that's going to come out this year won't be playable on the PS4 and the PS5, which is what Sony has said up to this point, and is what we've been saying up to this point. Okay, that's not what backwards compatibility is. Okay, that's something totally different. Backwards compatibility is being able to play your PS4 games on the PS5. Every game that comes out in 2020 for the PS4 and for the PS5 will be played on both systems. So I just want to make that clarification.
Jay, with that clarification, and thank you, Brandon, I think that's a very important clarification, because there's a difference between PS5 games being playable on PS4 and PS4 games being playable on PS5. So that said, Jay, does that change anything for you at all?
No, it comes down to what original games are being, exclusive games are being made for PlayStation 5 that are going to prompt me to buy it. Great that it's backwards compatible. That means whenever I buy it, I can enjoy the PlayStation 4 games that I've always known and loved, and put my current PlayStation 4 on the retirement shelf next to the Xbox 360. That sounds wonderful. I think it's just going to be very simple for me, and it's going to come down to what exclusives does PlayStation 5 have that I cannot currently buy on PlayStation 4, because PlayStation 4 is not forward compatible. You know, it's like, you know, great, every console that comes out should be able to play the last console stuff. You know, and it's all, you know, we talk about digital. I mean, it's all kind of a moot point anyway, because everything is going to be digital. If it isn't by the end of this year, it'll be very close in the coming years to where all you're doing is just, you know, porting over a digital version of every game anyway. Like this, you know, there used to be hardware limitations that kept you from showcasing games from console to console. You know, I think this is more of a scenario of, you know, you can emulate all kinds of games now on, you know, your iPhone, you know. So
yeah,
it's like I said, it's a moot point to some extent, because for me, it's going to be about exclusive titles for PlayStation 5 that are going to prompt me to buy it. It's not going to be about backwards compatibility, because I expect it to be able to do that at some point. Not at the launch, but part of phase two, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is most important, and the reason I wanted to have this conversation is, I just every time we get some news that I think can affect the decision for the leaguers regarding the X series and PS5, we need to disseminate it, and this is part of it, right? Like, if you got a bunch of PS4 games and you're like, well, I would love to buy a PS5, but I might have to trade in my PS4 in order to do it, then now you got an idea of how playable your current games are going to be on the PS5, and that might either help or hurt decision, because like Brandon said, we're only talking about the top 100. Now granted, if you're a leaguer and you listen to us, you should only be playing the top 100.
Real talk.
But A, they're not guaranteeing all the top 100. And B, you might have a couple stragglers in there. And, you know, we've talked about that, and you've taken your lumps for that. But, you know, you want to make sure that you can play as much stuff as possible as your PS5. Brandon, you had something you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think like anything, this is just a good swift kick in the nuts to Microsoft. Microsoft has historically struggled with backwards compatibility. Over the lifetime of the Xbox One, they've trickled 360 games and Xbox games for the Xbox One over time, and even then the backwards compatibility library is low. Like, Xbox never really ever launches with good backwards compatibility stats, and PlayStation is saying before the thing even kicks off that we're gonna have 100 games for you, and they go on to say that with more than 4,000 published games for the PS4, we will continue to test the process and expand backwards compatibility coverage over time. I mean, so they're gonna dig as deep into this library as possible. And all this is about is telling gamers that the library that you've amassed isn't gonna be shit if you decide to invest into our next console.
Right.
And that's
right.
Really important. I mean, a lot of people spend a lot of money. They have a lot of nostalgia in their games, and they want to continue to play their games moving forward and not have to hold on to 100 systems just so they can play their library games. And that's really important. And so, and Xbox has struggled in that a ton over the years, and allowing you to keep hold on to your library games and continue to play them without owning an Xbox, an Xbox 360, and an Xbox One down the line. This is just Sony. I agree with Jay. It doesn't move my needle at making me play a PS5, but this is just Sony is saying, we hear you, we know what you really want. And yes, this system is going to do it, and it's going to get even better if you decide to invest in us. We're thinking about the library of games you have. We're thinking about you, and we're actively trying to work it. And here's 100 games to prove it. So
don't you think it's Sony kind of leaning into the thing that they know they do best, which is have great titles. Like, compared to Xbox, they're the owner of the great titles. So they're like, hey, we know we have great titles. We want to make sure we bring those great titles to PlayStation 5. Whereas Xbox, on the other hand, and we talked about this, it doesn't seem like they're necessarily concerned with it. They're saying, fuck the great titles, fuck the exclusives. We're leaning into online cloud gaming. Like I said, these two systems are not competing. I don't think they are competing. I don't think they're competing in the future. I think they're doing two very different things, even though they are the two biggest consoles on the market. It's interesting to see this move by Sony kind of leaning into the fact that, hey, we have great titles. We want to make sure you can continue playing those great titles, because they know that that is why people buy PlayStation. And that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do gaming, and they do it very, very well. They get to the nuts and bolts of what the gamer wants. I think they've always done it a little bit better than Microsoft does. So I totally agree.
Anything to add, Jay?
It's no, we're heading into a console war. That's all it is. It's going to come down to Sony and Microsoft really duking it out for your early dollars, and that's
for your $500.
Yeah, it's just the console wars have begun. You know, that's all it is. I don't know where Nintendo is in this scenario, but
I got my Switch right here, Jay. Yeah, I got my Switch right, my Switch Lite right here.
Where's your Switch, Jay? Where's your Switch? Brandon has a light. Nintendo light.
Mine's on back. Mine's on back order.
That's my Switch Lite.
Mine's on back order. Ever since we got together and played Mario Party and Mario Kart, though, I've now drinking the Kool-Aid. I could see getting that Mario Party time.
Yeah, that was fun.
You guys can come on back
over your host's house and we can play more Mario Party.
Yeah, for everybody listening, we had an LCG Pod Company retreat, and during our retreat, outside of our team building exercises, we had some downtime and we played a lot of Mario Party together. It really brought us together as a pod.
I would argue that it was our best team building exercise.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. So, you know, I think we'll do it again next year, and you know, hopefully the leaguers feel like we're a much more integrated pod because of it.
Let me ask you a question. Did the pod get better post retreat?
Jay would say no, but I would say it did.
Jay would say no. Yes, Jay would say no. I would say it did. A nice little gem. Monopoly is $9.99 on Switch.
Oh God!
I'm gonna play a digital version of Monopoly.
Just jump out the window.
Jay, how do I fucking flip the board when right. I land a boardwalk for the second straight time? How does that happen?
All right, next time y'all come jump over, next LCG Pod mid-year retreat, we're playing Monopoly.
Multiple retreats in a year, this company is making money.
One to six players.
I'll never play a six-player Monopoly. Not in real life, not in digital life.
No.
All right, guys. I think that's all we have for today. Before we go, though, I have a public service announcement for the pod. Friends, leaguers, families, loved ones, addiction is real. If you have a friend, a loved one, a family member who is addicted to Zelda Breath of the Wild, please reach out to them. Help them get help.
I'm going to cut it.
The LCG Pod is starting a toll-free number at 555-888-5588.
Where you can get help
for your loved one who is addicted to Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Can somebody call a drum major so we can wrap this shit up?
Thank you. We love you. And good night.
That's longer than you worked on the show notes for the show.
I want to help all those.
You were no good during the production meeting, but you worked on that.
I want to help all those out there who are struggling with Zelda Breath of the Wild addiction, guys. That's a personal cause that I'm taking up. And so I'm going to make sure that I put that number out there for all those that need help at the end of every pod here on out.
Thank you. Because
addiction is a lifelong battle.
Guys. Oh, no, we heard you. Thank you. We definitely.
It's a lifelong battle.
Jay, tell him we heard him.
We heard him. We got to go.
All right, guys. That's the pod. If you want to hear more about everything we do, you can always find us on all social media at LCGPod. If you want to make sure you hear more about the causes that we are doing here at LCG Pod to help with Breath of the Wild addiction, you can always catch us on all your major podcast platforms. Make sure you click those 5 stars, like, and subscribe. Is that it, guys? Are we good?
We're good.
Yeah, we're out.
All right. See you next week.
Bye, digital.